The truth is, Netflix is a drug. And its escapism poison is YA novels that make you believe men are emotionally accessible, despite living in a world that not only denounces such a trait in them, but praises it by writing human history according to all the times they shut their feelings out, i.e. war. Side note, this is also going to be a Bridgerton season 3 review towards the middle end, so bear with me as I do the episode first. To watch movies like the Kissing Booth series, or as I call it, the Californian version of Twilight, is to believe male volatility and vulnerability are one and the same, healthy expressions of an open heart chakra. In a way, I feel like Netflix has turned me into a Bridget Jones watching Pride and Prejudice, the Keira Knightley edition, and waiting for Mr. Darcy to come with an ugly Christmas sweater and a law degree. The problem is, even when I dated those men that had those things, they really lived by a code. You can't spell charm without harm. Sure, they had the looks and verbiage of an educated man, but emotionally they were dull, barely capable of sitting through a lesson on sentimentality via Elmo on Sesame Street. Like most women watching Bridgerton with clutched pearls and a pink bunny, I wondered whether such level of visual romanticism was hitting my head either like a dose of ecstasy or fentanyl. To my modern male friends, shows like Bridgerton led to higher expectations that eventually led to the female death of relationship reality. Yet to me and any woman who rewatched TikTok videos of 80-year-old men greeting their wives of 60 years at airports, the reality never had a chance to be born. The odd thing I realized about myself via my Netflix rom-com addiction is that I thought love was somewhere distant, almost non-existent in time and space, like California, the Victorian era. I went to these shows because they made me feel closer to what I felt was impossible, a man that wanted to be good to you despite all the ways he was not good to himself. In the Netflix world of love, men were as flawed and unclear as women, but like us, they still tried to be loving and connective with their partners. They understood that humanity was about being fearlessly emotionally available, even when war and shutting down felt easier. So, God, I love that episode. I love when an episode is brief and good and to the point. I got to start doing that more often, but I'm a rambler. I love romantic books and comedies, and Netflix just feeds my soul with its like cheesy, you know, YA romantic shows. And my male friends all think that that is kind of what is feeding this surrealism about that women have in terms of dating, what they call surrealism. They either think we're too surreal or too feminist. And I think what is happening now with women in particular in terms of dating is I told my friend, I don't think we're progressing. I think we're resting. Too many of us realize that a bad man can really destroy a woman's life, even end it. And we may not have too many men or all men killing women, but we certainly have them destroying us, destroying our reputation, friendship circles, family, money. And the crazy part is, and why I mentioned, you know, those TikTok videos of 80-year-old men picking up their wife of 60 years. You see it all the time, you know, the way a man just looks at a woman as if he's, you know, the golden retriever, as people call it, right? Like, he's just so happy and so full. And I think that's the great irony of how so many men approach dating with some level of strategy or manipulation to save their money, to save their heart, is that when a man falls in love, he's so happy. Like all these men that cheat a lot, like my dad, you know, always cheating, always manipulating women, always trying to get out of child support. He was so unhappy. Like he worked way too hard to keep his money when in the end he was empty. Like he didn't feel anything. He just wanted to make everyone feel something about him. And when I see men in love, they look so rested. And one of the things I was talking about with my friend, Josie, who comes up a lot, is just this feeling of, I think men seek the woman that will make them fall in love And women seek the man that will treat them with love. Like, it's almost like whenever I see a couple true, like a true love couple, a couple truly in love, he's so happy to be so emotionally bare and vulnerable. And she is so happy to have that vulnerability come in the form of softness and treating me well and protecting me and providing for me and being there for me, so much so that I could be there for myself. I'm not an emotional support system, you know? And I think for my father and so many toxic men, their vulnerability and volatility were one and the same. And they were both excused as just, you know, at least I'm being real. At least I'm feeling, right? But you always feel negative. You don't feel love. And I think the season three of Bridgerton is so, it's a trippy season. Like, it's so far, I got the first six episodes as an entertainment critic, and it wasn't as lustful and deliciously kind of, you know, salacious as first seasons. It has its, particularly in terms of Kate and Anthony, like, it does try to give us that sexual, sensual tension. But I felt it was very grounded this season in terms, if the other seasons were more about how lust can trigger love, this season was more about how love can trigger lust. And it was very grounded in how friendship and liking someone can suddenly develop romantic feelings and trust. And it's almost as if something that I say a lot and something that I really want to feel, I want to feel like my partner is my best friend. I want us to fall in love because we like each other so much. And I felt like more than any other season, that's what this one is about, or trying to be, about how you need to kind of enjoy the person you're with before you sign a contract, a marital contract, to be with them forever. And in perspective, that's one of the great tragedies that my mother suffered, and something that I guess I should talk about in Daddy Recovery and will. My mother liked my dad. My mother was engaged, I think, two or three times before my father. She was dating a lot of great men. None of them exactly triggered her heart. And he was love and like, which is why he was so crushing when it was revealed he was a con artist and an addict and just all this mess. Because it's hard to like a messy person. I feel like sometimes we have degraded the power and meaning of love with, you know, toxicity, like, oh, love isn't easy. Love is, you know, you got to compromise and you got to handle people's flaws. Like, we always speak about love with so many warnings. And when I've seen it true love, it just flows. There's nothing dangerous about it or heartbreaking. It just, I just saw a TikTok. It was about a local news somewhere in Arkansas of a man who unfortunately passed away, 80 years old, of a heart attack. And as they were trying to revive him, they did for a few seconds. And his last words were really his last wish. And he said, I just want to take my wife out tonight to her favorite restaurant. And my God, to love someone like that, that all you wish is for something as simple as a restaurant date. I've never experienced that, not in the form of my father, not in the form of my exes. Like, none of them missed me. None of them loved me. None of them, their final wish wouldn't even be for me to be by their side. And I think that's what Bridgerton triggers and what people, what women want. I want that. I know it exists. I've seen it as much as I've seen toxicity. And it can't be fiction if I've seen it in reality. And I don't want it to be fiction for me. And I think that's what I loved about the first two seasons of Bridgerton. And I really admire. I have to rewatch it again. I liked it. I didn't love it. I thought, you know, the focus this time is on Penelope and, oh my God, I'm for Colin, Penelope and Colin, the third Bridgerton brother. And Penelope was the friend of Eloise and is actually Lady Whistledown, as was revealed. And it's, I enjoyed it, but I didn't, it's not my favorite. I do like The Lust. I do. But I think it's going to grow on me. I think the first part comes out now. The second part probably will come out in July. It might even be in three parts. Second part June, third part July. So we really have to see. But Bridgerton is still one of the best shows. So even when it's okay, it's still tremendously good. And it was enwrapping this season because he's falling for the very person he hates. He hates Lady Whistledown. Of course, typical foreshadowing. He says it, if I could, I'd make her pay. And, you know, Penelope's like, oh, God, you know. But it's all about how our insecurities too, especially in terms of our images, in terms of what we think people want from us versus what we want from ourselves, play into how genuine we can make this relationship. We have Penny who really likes Colin, but knows he hates Lady Whistledown, doesn't want to shut out the first thing that ever made her speak her truth and feel like she had an identity, even though it was hidden. And she could be a little spiteful with Lady Whistledown, even against Colin. And you're going to see that. And the flip side is Colin, you know, he goes to Paris, he travels France and becomes this, you know, Casanova, Mr. Cool. And he doesn't know how to shake that image. And as he starts training Penny on how to date versus fall in love with him, they're both two people that are just so raised and obsessed with having the look of love and coolness and being smart that they don't necessarily know the reality of each other or even themselves. And I think that perspective is so interesting, which is why I said this season feels very grounded. I don't know if it will be my favorite season or it might grow on me as I rewatch it and the newer episodes come out and I appreciate it because I do like that they kind of twisted it and they're like, this is about how friends can fall in love with each other and how the images you have of yourself can challenge the reality you want from a relationship. So all in all, I would give this like 4.5 out of 5 stars, maybe 4 stars. Don't expect too much sex though. Not yet or not enough. Check out daddyrecovery.com. And please follow, subscribe, check out Deandra on all music platforms, check out the podcast on all platforms and follow.